church.
Good evening.
I tell you, I'm getting old. And I can tell I'm getting old when it gets cold. My knees hurt, my hips hurt, my back hurts, my head hurts. About everything hurts when it gets cold. Mm-hmm. But you know, that just means, one, I'm getting a little older, getting a little wiser, but I'm getting just a bit closer to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So today we're going to be in Romans chapter 6, verses 1. I'm having a hard time seeing. Hold on a minute.
You ain't saying nothing about your eyes now.
I did not. Why in the world? My glasses are clear. Verse 1 through 14, I believe, what we're going to be going through today. Dead to sin, alive to God. Mm-hmm. We're going to be going over some principles today. Some doctrines, some teachings that are foundational to our faith. There is a modern movement, heretical movement, that's called free grace. And they would say that once you believe in Jesus, that what was sin before is no longer sin for you. This is what they would say. So that then nothing is prohibited. And for them, repentance is not even required. You have to omit large portions of Scripture and twist what remains to come to that kind of doctrine. In fact, Paul is addressing the topic of sin here in chapter 6. Sin versus grace. In verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. In the King James, it's God forbid. Shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? What's he talking about here? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin? We died to sin. Mm-hmm. We who have come to faith, how? We have died to sin. Well, here we have the symbology, and we'll see this as we go forward, of baptism. More on that here in just a moment. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We die with Christ in the waters of baptism. And as we rise up from those waters, we share in the resurrection of Christ as well. We share in Christ's death and in his resurrection. That is what Paul is telling us here. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. As a refutation of that free grace doctrine I mentioned here, Paul here and later throughout Romans, he talks about this elsewhere as well, that we need to put off the old man. That old man, which is our sin nature. who we were before coming to Christ and put on the new man. Amen. To walk in the newness of life. That instead of being, and we see this in the second half of this chapter, which we'll cover next time, is prior to coming to faith in Christ, we are slaves to sin. But now we are set free from that bondage and are now slaves unto righteousness.
Amen.
We've been given that new heart so that we desire the things of God. He goes on more in, I really am having a hard time reading today. I wonder what's going on. Here's my blood sugar. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's interesting. United together. This comes from the Greek synthatos. It means to grow in union or to plant in union. This word describes two plants that grow together. I actually have an example of this at my house. A few years ago, I planted these maple trees in my backyard. The front of my house faces north, so the back of the house, of course, is that means it faces south. Well, that's where all the sunlight is. Well, to bring shade both to my backyard and to my house, I planted all these maple trees. And these were young trees. They're about probably 5 foot, maybe 5 foot tall when I planted them. Mm-hmm. Well, my neighbor also has some trees. Another maple, that same year that I planted it, now it came up from a seed, so it's not the same size, but another maple came up and is growing in the north shadow of that maple. So and they just so happen to be the same tree, like the same kind of tree. It's really kind of, I think it's cool. This last spring, I tried to move that smaller tree, but I can't. Not without damaging or maybe even killing the one that I had planted. Mm-hmm. Those root systems are so intertwined, mm-hmm, that those two trees are now becoming one. They're becoming one tree. And given enough time, they will in fact grow together because they're only this far apart. Mm. Now I probably could have plucked it up when it first grew up, before it got to that point, sure. I don't think it's going to hurt anything. But these are two trees. One was purposely planted, the other one grew on its own, and they've grown together and they're essentially now inseparable. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how our relationship is now with Christ. We are inseparable from him.
Amen.
I really am enjoying going through Book of Romans. I really am. It's just such a deep, rich book, right? There's so much. It's so well written, right? Paul was an amazing writer.
Amen.
His writing style of how he structures his epistles is just so beautiful. Let me start over with verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. What was I talking about? That we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We're not to continue in a life of sin.
Our same lifestyle.
Right. Now, if you truly are saved and born again, you're going to desire the things of God.
Of God. That's right. Amen.
You might have some habits, and none of us are perfect.
Amen.
We're all going to have, I've used this comparison here of accidental sin versus intentional sin. Right? On the way here, I don't know that I've ever seen traffic this heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It was, oh my goodness. Traffic was backed up, and it was almost bumper to bumper from my house in New Albany, going down Green Valley Road, then Mount Tabor, backed up there, backed up on Grantline, it's backed up on 265, it's backed up onto 62.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, when from 265 as it turns onto 62, mm-hmm. Mom was almost in a multi-car pileup. I don't know why I'm just now telling this, because this happened on my way here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just another night at the fake.
Just round. Another night. But what had happened was someone many cars up forward had decided, I guess, changed their mind or whatever. They cut in from that right lane into the turn lane to take 62.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that caused every vehicle behind there to slam on their brakes, which included me. And I mean, there's probably 10 cars and trucks and Jeeps slamming on their brakes and turning, going into onto the shoulder. So you had cars that were just, well, like kind of like this,
mm-hmm.
right? No one got hit. There was praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Everyone was able to avoid hitting the car in front of them. And then, you know, then we get on to 62, and it's bumper to bumper all the way from 265, pretty much all the way into Charlestown. It was just, I don't know that I've ever seen that much traffic on that route. Now, I'm not saying that's the worst experience I've ever had driving
mm-hmm.
here, right? There's been accidents, there's been road construction or whatever that may have slowed me down. There's been some, well, there was that big, massive work truck that about took me out one time on the way here not too long ago. That was, what, last month, I think?
Yeah.
Right? My point of bringing that up is, as accidental sin, an example of this, kind of digressed here. Accidental sin, you're driving, say, just like I was here tonight,
mm-hmm.
and you have that near pileup. And while we should maintain control of our tongues,
mm-hmm.
right? An accidental sin would be to get angry and curse, or maybe to throw up that middle finger,
mm-hmm.
right? Now that's an accidental sin. You didn't intend, you didn't leave the house with the intention to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe you had a complexity of stressors. That's an accidental sin. An intentional sin would be if a brother in Christ who is married tells his wife, hey, I'm gonna go out with the boys tonight. We're gonna go get some chicken wings and go watch a ball game. But instead he goes to the bar and he goes home with a woman and he has an affair. Now he intentionally committed adultery. Mm-hmm. Intentionally, that's intentional sin.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have accidental sins, that's going to happen. The only one who ever walked the earth that was perfect was Jesus.
Amen.
So what Paul's not saying, he's not saying that you have to be 100% sinless. What he's saying is that your heart must be changed. We cannot willfully live a life of sin. It's the difference. Willfully living a life of sin. We are set free from that bondage through Christ. He's talking about Romans. My Bible keeps flipping pages today. It's just, now it's on Romans 9. My goodness. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. That's the finished work of Christ.
Amen.
Only He need only die on the cross one time, because it is all sufficient. Once for all, but the life that he lived to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have now crucified our lusts with Christ. We buried, killed and buried those lusts, those sinful natures. And we choose to now walk with God, to keep his commandments, and to live a righteous life, not because it saves us, but because it is pleasing to God.
Amen.
Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Sin may feel good in the moment. God, but what is sin? God did not arbitrarily choose things to be sinful and righteous. That which God commands that we abstain from, that which God has declared as sin, he does so because it is destructive to ourselves,
Amen.
To our families, to our communities. Yes, the sins that we commit are an affront to God, but when we sin, we're also sinning against our own bodies. We're hurting ourselves. God loves us. He's our heavenly Father, right? Just as an earthly father would discipline their child when they're about to place their hand on that hot stove.
Come on, yeah.
Right? And an earthly father might even harshly raise his voice. Boy, don't you place your hand on that stove. You can if you want to, but you ain't gonna like it. Right? So too it is with God. Now God tells us what is sin and what is not.
Amen.
And our natural state, our natural sin nature, that old man outside of Christ, it is natural to pursue those selfish desires and lusts, all of which destroy us in the end. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
But under grace. Before we, as we go into the conclusion and close today's message, we will finish Romans chapter 6 next time. There is true freedom and liberty in Christ. All the world has for us is bondage.
That's right.
And lies.
That's
deceived.
Right.
And the world will tell us that these worldly things, they're fun. It'll make you happy. It'll improve your quality of life. All these sinful things, going out with friends and drinking or any number of other sinful activities. Promiscuity. None of those things, I mean, they may feel good in the moment. None of them will leave you fulfilled. And ultimately, in pursuit of happiness is not our goal. The world, the humanistic world, the postmodernist world, they seek happiness above all else. And it is ultimately that pursuit of self-indulgence that leads to the least happiness and the least fulfillment. But we as believers know that we seek not our own happiness, but to please God in our service to Him. The pleasures of this world are meaningless in comparison to all the pleasures of our eternity with God. So we should seek God in our prayers, seek God in His Word always. Know that we're going to stumble. Right? There's going to be stumbling blocks in life. That's not what Paul's addressing. What he's addressing here is that our sin nature, our desire for sin, died with Christ. And now our desire for God and His holiness and His righteousness was resurrected with Him. That is that new man. Let us seek God always, always pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Let us draw closer to God. We should all seek a closer relationship with Him. You know, before I had that accident, 2021, before I got COVID and a heart condition, I used to do hikes, 5-10 mile hikes multiple times a week. I loved hiking out in nature. And one of the things that I've talked about this before, one of the things I loved about it was that it's not what is there, but what isn't.
Right, amen.
Right? What isn't there is the chaos and the stress of the world. I can be out there on a trail with my dog and just be in thought and prayer and enjoy the beauty of God's creation. And it is in those hikes where I feel this immense closeness with God. And I miss it. Now, I can't go hiking like that anymore because I have a heart condition. If I have a heart attack halfway down a 10-mile hike, I may not even have cell service. Right? But I miss it. I do have plans this spring to maybe try to get in a little better shape, maybe spend a little bit more time out in nature. It is that desire to be closer with God.
Amen.
Be closer with Him. Dead to sin and alive to Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in praise and thanksgiving for your many blessings. Lord, I pray that you be with each and every one of us as we go our separate ways and bring us back together again. Lord, I pray that you use this message to touch our hearts and draw us ever closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.